good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Park and Recs Committee for Town of Discovery Bay. I would like to open the meeting with roll call, please.
General Manager Davies.
Here.
Chair Steele.
Here.
Vice Chair Pease.
Here.
Recreation Program Supervisor Kaiser.
Here.
Parks and Landscape Manager Miller.
Here.
Great, thank you very much. We have opened the public comments, seeing no public.
Oh, no. I have to take my shirt off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're back here.
Any public comment?
Yes. I just would like something for the committee to consider. The Discovery Bay Alliance is interested in making a donation towards to fix barbecue area, providing it could probably be named after Bob Abbott barbecue area or something like that. But the Alliance is willing to make that donation. I do not expect an answer today. I just want to drop that thought. Let it circulate through there. Maybe bring it back at another agenda meeting and we can talk about it. So that's my Alliance hat.
Or we put it on the next meeting agenda for discussion. But just for information, what's the amount of funds they're willing to put in?
$5,000 to $10,000 maybe or more.
So concept just would be to remove what's there and just install.
I think these two fine gentlemen here have plans to retrofit that area maybe or make some expansion. So the Alliance is thinking about helping float that or provide the funding to make that a reality.
Thank you.
All right. We'll close public comment. Thank you for the comments. Move on to our approving our meeting minutes. Anybody have any questions or comments on those minutes?
Move approval.
Second. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. So I'm going to turn it over to staff regarding items D 1 through 10.
Okay. Well, staff, Mac, this first item is yours, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it?
That's the insurance thing. You were working with.
Do I have the right darn? You know what? I have the wrong.
You were looking at the minutes.
Okay, so I'm on this. Sorry. All right. This item before you concerns a change in language to our policy regarding fee waivers and park use facilities, et cetera. And that is, we got into some crisscross in terms of what's necessary for insurance that we're going to require the people that rent the facilities, et cetera, to have. And we contacted SDRMA regarding what is their expectation as our insurer. And their expectation is that not only do they have the waiver of insurance, the insurance that names us on the certificate, the Town of Discovery Bay for $1 million, but there's a separate endorsement attached to it that shows that we're co-insured. And so that was their recommendation. That's their expectation out of us. And so we've crafted language that changes the relevant portions in our policy 12 and 13 that deals with that, to just simply require an endorsement be added.
Okay, now is that for anyone who rents a facility, or is that for nonprofits?
It's anyone that falls into the categories of 50 attendees or more, certain kinds of events would trigger the need for this. It's already outlined in the policy.
Yeah, well, as Chris just mentioned, I agree. Let's say somebody could have an anniversary party, a birthday party, and 50, 60 people.
Well, under our policy, 60 people would trigger it. 49 is a child, will not.
To have a homeowner, I'm saying, go through that process there, I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. And all these things can be overridden by a general manager who should be exercising good common sense in these matters.
Okay. All right, that's enough said.
And so
we trust your common sense.
Well, thank you on that. And then, I think all it is just want to get a consensus on whether we bring this before the board with a recommendation that the language be changed.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, okay. If you need board approval, you can certainly bring it forward.
Okay, we can do that. So that concludes that item. The next item, Brian.
Yep. Ravenswood Place Structure. For some reason,
reason we have a lot of vandalism at Ravenswood Park, and they've managed to scratch in all kinds of things. Someone went over with a sawzall and cut the legs, the support legs to the stairs leading up to it. We did a retrofit repair on it. They disconnected the rope ladder, so if kids go up the rope, up and down the rope ladder, possibility of injury. We repaired that too. It's very unsightly, and we've had a lot of complaints from the homeowners around there, the mother, about the problem. We have lighting over there, and it kind of bothers me that nobody ever sees any of this, especially someone with a sawzall cutting a couple of steel legs.
Oh, it was steel. Wow.
Yeah, you can view all the way through the park. There's no real obstructions. Anyway, I've had a few complaints. I've tried to get a hold of the company itself. It's based in Korea, and there is a rep in Georgia, but no one seems to return any of my inquiries. I'm going to keep pursuing it. I would like to be, just replace the back panels on it if I can. But that, in my estimation of replacing other panels, I would think it's going to be close to $10,000 for that. To replace the whole structure, though, you're looking at about $60,000.
You should just get some 60-inch concrete pipe and call it a play structure and just call it good. No, it's terrible.
It's really frustrating.
Is the sheriff aware of these issues?
I can make them aware of it.
That way they can put it on their patrol list. So maybe, Mike, you got a suggestion.
Well, yeah. First of all, they should be taking the report. So we want to report the incidents of vandalism. And secondarily, Ravenswood is ours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on mine.
Well, then perhaps that's insured. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a police report or things of this nature, and we have significant damage or vandalism, then go through our insurance company.
Okay.
So that might be one, but they're not going to do anything potentially unless you have a police report documenting the damage and the vandalism. So in the meantime, that's for the future. And so what is your preference to do on this, and what monies would you use to fund this?
Well, that's the problem. The preference would be to replace the play structure with, because it is really beat up. But as far as money goes, there isn't any money to replace it. Unless they go on to reserves, and I don't know what the reserves are for the park, or if we can even use reserves.
There's no PG&E money left available for that, or is that all supposed to be in some...
Well, I hate to keep throwing that pot of money around. I'd like to focus on what we already agreed on to repair.
Yeah, we have a list and used all that money. Even though it hasn't been done yet, on the list, I don't know if we wanted to re-look at the list and reprioritize things that haven't been done yet. But
is the skateboard park a good location there?
No, it's too small.
Okay,
the park's too small.
Yeah. Is it so? The graffiti that's been scratched in, is that a, can you actually read it? Does it be offensive to people to see it? Or just unsightly?
Yeah. Both, unsightly and there's some that...
Okay, what if as a temporary thing on the scratching in, you took some automotive body filler and just floated it and then just painted it?
I'll talk to some of the play structure people before we start doing something like that, because that may not hold, so.
Well, it's adhesive.
Can you put a grinder on it?
You could use liquid nail. That stuff will stick to anything. Fill the hole as well, I'm saying, to make it go away and just give it a paint job. I know it's temporary, but if someone comes back and re-scratches, now we get to make a police report.
Well, we still can't make
a police report. Well, make the one.
Yeah.
And if we did that as a temporary thing, it'll stick. We'll make another one. And then we'll build our case and try to get the insurance money.
Yeah.
You know, as far as steel, cutting steel things, you said you did a field fix for those for security, right?
Yeah, so they can still use the structure itself.
but I think it's important that we do notify the sheriff's department so they can put it on their watch list. It's got to be happening in, early in the morning, you know, that 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning thing. I would think.
I have no idea. For some reason, that park really gets hit hard.
Do the neighbors? They got direct side of the park, right?
Yeah, right across the street.
You know what? You're saying something we could do. Could we take and make a little flyer of some sort? Dear neighbors, there's been a lot of vandalism in the park. Would you please keep an eye out and give the sheriff's department a call and give their number anytime, and just hand deliver it to all the neighbors that face onto it.
Sure.
Because they may not have, some of them may not have young children and don't go over there, don't look at all. You know, people that are far away, they aren't going to see anything, but all the homes surrounding them certainly would. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll start a little neighborhood watch.
Because, we're fixing it, but maybe you have to watch it a little better, too.
Is the play structure a danger to any user at this time?
It's hazardous. Well, they're all hazardous, but no, I mean...
Because of safety. The graffiti people or vandalism hasn't made it unsafe. It just made it unsightly.
No, we did repairs that are adequate. Okay. Otherwise, I would have shut it down.
Okay. All right. Well, you made us aware of it. We put it back in your plate. Call the sheriff.
Okay.
Let the homeowners know. Keep an eye out.
Well, let's see how we do with number three.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, you're on. You carry the rest of this.
The Cornell Park, the split railing fences. Some of it has been removed. Some of it's fallen apart. There were repairs done on it when I first started working here, and the contractor said the materials for that fencing aren't available anymore. So they've been using things that are similar, but it's starting to look like piecemeal. Some of it can just be removed and taken out.
Sure.
There's two sections, one in the north and one on the east side, that need to be put back in, maybe with a different rail system, maybe the assembly rail system that's in the other parks. They tend to hold up a little bit better, although those get vandalized too.
Do you think they need a rail system? It seems like it's just kind of a hazard having it there. I don't see any benefit to it other than maybe a vehicle would slow down going through it.
Yeah, you could use a bollard system.
Because everyone else goes over the curb anyway. Oh, bollard.
Yeah, you could do bollards all the way around. It's to keep people from going out and staying donuts in the curb.
Well, that's what it's for, to keep people. Okay. Well, could we do a two-phase cleaning on, well, divide it in half?
That's what I was thinking.
Take down whatever's there and put some bollards in it, and take those materials and put them over and repair whatever else you have.
Yeah, we were going to do a minor repair by removing. There's two short sections we can actually take out and do some minor repairs until we come up with a better plan for.
Well, if it's to keep the vehicles out, I think the bollards in a chain or something,
If the bollards are close enough, the vehicles can't get in. But
do all our parks have that feature? Is that a standard common feature in all of our parks? Is that what your park is driven on?
Regulars when you can't drive along, slightly you can't. And also Regatta you can. And Regatta they do spin donuts over there.
Okay.
It's pretty common.
But we want the sheriff department or somebody to be able to drive in there. So the bollards, would they be removable? Or?
There are removable on the concrete part. So you can't get vehicles in there, driving them on concrete.
And you guys take care of keeping vehicles on these pathways as well?
Yes, we do. There's already removable bollards there, but I'm thinking about where the fence areas are. You're going to have to do something.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to bring in large boulders, too.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Could we research and figure out which is the least expensive?
Yeah. What we're doing is I want to run different ideas by you guys, and then I'll get prices on the different ideas.
And well, boulders are fine with me if they're not large enough that it attracts the kids to climb on and fall off. If they're,
Well, you probably gave some.
It's about this
size.
Tall.
Yeah,
about
how
big is that?
Yeah, about this size.
Yeah. So, whatever you think you need to do, whatever
okay.
The least expensive. Right?
Unless you want to paint everything the same color, but that's a hassle, isn't it? Every company being able to paint concrete. Can you paint it?
Paint what?
The fence.
Why would
the wood is comes in a brown tone. It's all along Newport. It's Cypher Park, Ravenswood. They've all.
Oh, it's a plastic fence.
No, it's concrete.
Well, those are kind of
yeah, with rebar in them because the kids kick them apart.
They got their own wood. They're kind of nice.
I didn't know that.
And we have some replacements at one of the well sites, the other well site across town.
All right. Well, maybe we could do the research and bring us back some cost options and go from there.
Okay, so we'll now turn it over to Brian. For discussion regarding the purchase and installation of containment building for pool containers.
Yeah, I think that's I priced out containment buildings and they're way out of our league. They're about $50,000 for a containment building because of the separation you have to have with the acid and the chlorine.
Okay.
So I've already changed the containment pallets in there so that there's 60 gallons of chemical on a 66-gallon containment pallet. So I've already addressed the issue of containment out there. I think we're going to have problems putting a building up there, cost-wise. I think the way it is right now, I'm thinking maybe just do partial roof over the heater and over the electrical area where the chemicals are and call it good for now. Because that's going to have to go through an architect to be designed because when you store chemicals.
Oh, concrete bunker and all that?
Yeah, and also ventilation and everything that goes with it.
Couldn't we get a tough shed for chemicals and put it by two of them? One holds this and one holds that.
It would have to be modified to meet storage of chemicals. That's a possibility. A tough shed for that area would be about $30,000 with permits and everything.
Well, not the whole thing. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying take the chemicals and just put them in a different spot. So, I don't know, wherever. Or you cut the thing in half and just have the heater, the filtration system, all that. Redo whatever you need there.
I can talk to the senior planner at the county and see if they'll let that fly. Because that's...
See what suggestions they have also.
Yeah.
For how
you still have to have the separate containment, the ventilation, and everything else that goes with it. So. But I can run that by her. I've got a pretty good relationship with her.
Right. Well, we don't want to poke the hornet's nest right away. printed specifications right somewhere. I don't know. Mac, do you recall what they did at Brentwood for their chemical stuff? Do they have a...
Well, yeah, the whole complex was designed...
Was designed with that in mind, so it was already built right in the whole...
Yeah. The actual storage unit at BFAC is actually a front building, so if you were to drive by from the skate park or on the sidewalk, because of the way it's designed, it almost looks like part of the building, but it's a separate... block concrete, and that's where they keep most of the chemicals is in there. So that way, when trucks pull in to load and unload chemicals, they just pour right up on the curb, run their hoses and stuff around. So
that just struck me under my old construction days. We had a concrete pad, and I'm not saying our staff built this, but
put up
a masonry. I don't know how tall do you have to cut to contain it. Just it's got to be so high.
It just depends on the volume of the liquid.
Right, so we can figure that out. And then from, you bring up a block wall this high, let's call it this high, and then we can just build the shed over the top of it with adequate venting, whatever that is.
Yeah, you'd have to have an architect design it to get it to the county for permits. So we can do that.
I don't know, it gets us cost. I would... They get a local contractor and give us a thumbnail sketch, and Mason can tell us how much. We can figure out how big it needs to be.
Something like that's a little bit more dangerous.
Well, no,
you know, gotta do it the right way. You just can't have some guy come in and build a block wall and then something happens and they say, well, we'll put this in.
Well, I mean, it has to be done. It has to be constructed properly and meet the code, yes.
Right, they're going to want it to sign out that to get the permits.
Well, correct.
I have to do that just for the little shit out here.
Right. The only concern I have once you get an architect involved who wants to make a piano out of this, we're not going there.
We're just being not right.
Yes.
Well, you need an architect's stamp.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't disagree. You would have to keep him corralled. Okay, this is just a box to put the chemicals in. I don't know what we're rambling, but.
Okay. Now, did you render it to where we pass inspection now, mm-hmm. safety inspection?
Yeah.
So right now we're safe.
We're good now. So
good now.
This needs to be addressed during the next 12 months. Is it good for 12 months or, yeah?
Probably the best idea is to get some bids from architects and figure out the design for it, because that's the first thing they're going to want to see.
How much would a bid, architect bid, do you figure that would be?
Could be as low as 10, could be as high as 30.
Can you just have touch
it?
Can't touch it?
There's got to be I know where you're going, and it's safety and all that, but from getting it designed kind of a thing, figure out what we want so we can get some ballpark numbers to put it in a budget, we've got to have a little easier way to do that than
the thing. The guy that
does
these things might have some ideas on
what's
cost effective.
What about the guys that supply us the chemicals? They're going everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the... Not the delivery driver, you wouldn't know necessarily, but the owner of the company or head office or something. If they were getting a new customer, they couldn't deliver those chemicals unless they were delivering them to a official chemical place, right? I would assume.
I've never had problems with that. You can go in and buy them yourself.
Okay.
You can. You can go into some of these drugstores and they have chlorine on that shelf.
The difference between here and say a BFAC is dealing in probably 500-gallon containers. Mm-hmm. So you've got a semi truck coming in, a gas truck, and half unloading or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So Brian's correct. Here, you're talking cases of stuff that you can just go to Leslie's and pick up. So that's the difference. You're dealing in thousands and thousands of gallons of stuff being stored on site. There,
right.
Here, it might only be 200.
Now, circled all the way back to your first comment, talking to the county. The county probably has a spec already with some drawings on it. And if you can get those, bring them back here, we can just take a look at what we have to do. And then we can go out and get some kind of a number based on a county drawing.
I'll ask Judy, but I'm sure she's going to say you need to have an architect.
No, they've got a recommendation. In other words,
sure, they have their folks, but...
And then there's probably got...
But is she going to be willing to give that information to us?
It's public information. It's the county building department. It says you have to build...
I'll give her your phone number, Bill.
No problem.
If you have to talk to her.
I'll have to.
Yeah. All right. But all right. We're
okay right now. We need to get it going. Mm-hmm.
I just want to...
Make us aware.
Yeah, and just... Do a temporary button up until we figure out what we want to do.
Right.
Because our next problem is how long is the pool going to last?
How long the pool is going to last?
Yeah.
May end up being a garden.
I think that's on the list.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Whose item is this? Update related to various recreation classes, participation, and revenue.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I mean, I could talk for hours. What are specific things?
All I was looking for is again the thumbnail classes that we've got. All the classes we thought were going to be done is they're pretty well full, and we're making money better than last year.
Part I can't specifically give you, but I was working on the presentation for tonight to get a little movie to go with it. But I was working on some numbers as well. In our current activities guide, and Monica can correct me if I'm wrong, most of the classes are going. Where when I got here, I think we were canceling most of the classes.
Right. That's...
So what we're doing is what we started a year ago, which was looking at the assets of the town and programming for those and not worried about kind of that shotgun approach. And it seems to be paying off. I mean, our stuff is going up. Tennis had, you know, when you go with the end of the year drought, the wettest season in forever and a day, it doesn't help tennis a whole lot, but the classes that we were able to get going, they're all going. So I think, except for maybe the one program in the guide, the painting class and the water fitness, those two classes, everything else is gone.
But we resolved how to bring more people into the painting class.
For the next guide.
Yes, we did.
Oh, it's a wine thing.
It's a wine thing.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to be creative.
And I even had to laugh that there was an ad recently for Sand Creek Pub. I don't know if you guys have been there. It's a local pub that opens kind of like a Cheers in Brentwood. I've been there a few times. And they actually have a painting class. And I just laughed because I thought of, you know, we're trying to get this so the adults show up. And it's like, they're doing it at the pub. And it's like, yeah, come down and have a beer and paint. I'm like, yeah.
It relaxes your creativity. It lets it out.
It does. So my assumption would have been that revenue is also there as well because, except for one or two classes or sessions, everything is going. And then, of course, you get a little sneak peek tonight, too, of the stuff we have planned for summer. So, again, we backed off. We looked at what should work because that's what we have here. They're going. We're going to expand on that this summer as well. So,
well, I get phone calls several times a week. People already like, I know your swim lessons were full last year. Can I be on the wait list now? No, you know, to be fair to everyone, it opens. So we're actually already fielding phone calls for people that were in programs that they loved last summer that's just going to be greater this year.
So we did do a good job as what we could do with swim lessons. The activities guide should hit the streets May 10th. And so registration will begin after that, and then classes will start about 30 days later. So.
Very, they should be very proud of the job they did on that activity guide. It's excellent.
Thank you.
And, very nicely done.
We're getting it all fine-tuned.
Wow. Great. Okay, well, that answered my question.
Yeah.
Things are moving forward.
It's moving forward. And another really good example, too, and again, you'll see tonight, like, the community garden, 23 of the 30 boxes of lost for the season.
Oh, really?
And everything you're growing is illegal. Mike makes me go check every day.
Are those tomato plants?
So if you get a chance to cruise over there, we have several volunteers that we think live over there now because they're here every day gardening.
Oh, perfect. Great.
So,
Okay, item six. I think this is yours, Brian. Discussion regarding the community center swimming pool leak solution. Updates on the heater and filter system.
Well, the heater and filter system is fine, but the pool leaks 3/4 of an inch a day.
We've known that for a while, but from my memory is correct.
Yeah, we
have copper lines, and we feel a copper line is broken or something.
Yeah, I actually have a leak in the 4-inch line that's inside the building. It's in the building that I had to repair to, but it's more than likely the underground piping. I can call a leak detector company in to see if they can isolate it. But.
Well, I think we need to know where it is. If it's in the concrete in the pool, that's one thing. If it's in the line coming across the grass or went down below.
Yeah, they actually, when the pool was being redone, they recommended that the pool piping be replaced, and they gave a price at that time that it was stopping.
How much was it?
I think it was about 65, because they'd already...
6,500?
No, 65,000.
Another zero.
Yeah, they cut the bottom of the pool out to get piping skimmers, and then redone it and replaced it.
Pools are like boats.
Yeah.
What about the radiator fix? Doesn't that work?
The what?
The radiator stuff gets poured in the cap and it's totally
has a toxic chemical.
Yeah, sorry.
And we don't know where the leak's coming out of.
Underground.
Just that's our aquifer.
Yeah, exactly. But it's So we haven't noticed the muddy spot yet, or is it just wet out there all the time?
No, it's not really wet out there. There is some movement in the pool.
Movement in the pool, mainly?
Popping tiles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over in this corner, the shallow end.
But I haven't looked at the tiles down there on them. There, is it a tile or is it a gun?
At the coping.
The tile is at the top of the
Oh, it's
the
coping?
It's not the coping, it's the tile below the coping.
Yeah, coping on top.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been a cheery little review.
So we don't have a leak solution and we should probably keep monitoring right now?
Well, yeah, I can get a leak detector company in to see if they can, you know, narrow it down to an area, but it's...
Even if we knew, what would
you... Yeah, no. So I, and our automatic, because the water fluctuates so much out here, the automatic fill line hasn't been working properly, so I hooked the valve up to a sprinkler clock, and I timed it so it brings it up to the right level every morning before we come in.
Is that a new autofill?
Yeah.
2 years old, it's not working?
No.
And our pool company can't fix it?
No, because the water in the pipe is going up and down. So it keeps kicking it on and off, and sometimes it stays on. You come in and the water's off.
Oh,
your
lid
off. Yeah. So what I did is I just timed the fill line and put it on a sprinkler timer. Does the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Solve that problem.
It's a workaround. Because I came in, when we first started with the pool, I came in after the weekend, and the water was down at the bottom of the skimmer. It was a hot weekend that weekend. That was this year. And the pump was doing this. And what it does is it starts putting pressure out in the back and start blowing the pipes apart. Mm-hmm. So that's what I came up with to resolve that. The pool is a 7-day-a-week operation with only 5 days a week out. It takes about 2 hours work every day for that pool.
You know what? We have our relationship with Veolia, and they have a camera truck, and they camera the sewer system.
Yeah, but I don't think they can camera the water system.
There are cameras that do conduits. I don't know if there's a second half to do that.
Camera?
They're very small, yeah. Right. And
so
it might involve pulling the skimmers off too, which is quite a project. You have to cut the concrete and take them out. Two of them have been replaced already. I've got one other one that needs to be replaced. It's not working at all. And my circulation system out there, out of the 10 jets, we have 4 that are functioning 100% and 6 that are really weak.
The jets putting the water in.
Yeah, it circulates the chemical. We're meeting our minimum flow on the pool, so every time we get inspected, we're okay. But we're just at minimum flow. Pools are very tricky things.
Yeah, I don't
think it's public pools.
Yeah, I guess we don't have any alternative. We need to figure out where the leaks are and see if we can solve it. I don't know what leak detector.
If you have to pull, you probably have to pull all the decking up and repipe the pool, you know, drain it.
Oh,
you know. At the time it was 65 because the pool had already been sandblasted. It was down to the gunite, and that's why they gave the price and said, you know, now's the time to do this. And instead, it was plastered and filled.
I don't know if that ever got to the board level. I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't think it would have flew anyway, but it never got brought up.
New pool like the swim team wants is probably about a $2 million project.
Yeah, I think that's the River Otters fundraising program. Yeah.
Big time. And to be honest, that pool would probably better serve the community at Poppin's site over there by Timber Point Elementary. It's big enough for a pool and a parking lot, and that's where all the kids come from for swim team. That would be an ideal site for a pool.
I don't think that's on the agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I know.
Yeah,
I'm just trying
you're
to.
You're just giving
out.
This to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
You're just telling us the truth. That's all. Okay.
So let's keep monitoring the leaks, and then we should get it. If Veolia has a way they can let us have a leak to it, I don't know how to check it. So.
I can talk to Bernie.
See if you can talk to Bernie. See if maybe if they've got at another facility, they have a water system. Fresh water.
For small.
discussion regarding an update related to Red Cross training.
Did we forget the landscape zone transfer?
I
guess we did.
Well, that one was above it.
Oh, yes, sorry. Volunteers.
So, regarding the update, who's Red Cross?
Red Cross would be me. Okay. All right, so where we left off last time, we were looking at internally doing Red Cross classes, and if you recall, kind of the persons we had lined up for that, it didn't work. So we ended up going with an outside company out of Sacramento to do two classes. One class was to be March 29th through April 1, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The second class is coming up this week. So I'm excited to say we were holding our breath there at the end, but the first class went with 14 students. And the class scheduled to be run this weekend has 21 students in it. So that gives us, 35 students in a lifeguard class, two lifeguard classes here in Discovery Bay. The beauty of it, like kind of being creative and working with an outside company, is here in Discovery Bay, having 35 teenagers that are looking for lifeguard jobs is impossible. Minimum for those classes is usually 10, and in this case it was. The beauty is, by doing it with these guys, is they're also promoting area-wide. So even if we only have, for instance, in the first class, there's 7 potential employees that will be getting out of that class, I would have had to have canceled it. Instead, those students were able to come here, ride Discovery Bay, ride their bike over here, that would entail, take the class. These other students just help fill the class, even though they're from Tracy or Walnut Creek or whatever. So we're looking at getting a potential 7 employees out of the first class. This next one with 21 students in it, there's a possibility of 4 applications in that. So it gives us a potential of 11 Discovery Bay, Oakley, Brentwood kids as a potential employees for us here at the pool. If you recall last year, I think we had 3 or 4 at TOPS. So not knowing any of this, when we programmed for the activities guide coming out, we programmed for 5 days a week being closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, with the idea of being, surprise, we have more people now, we can be open on Tuesday and Wednesday, versus what happened last year, which is, well, what do you mean you're closed on Tuesday and Wednesday? So we kind of hedged our bets a little bit. It's looking good. Again, that's the first time we've had classes here. The kids are getting certification, Red Cross, it's appropriate. It's an outside entity that's teaching it, so there's no cutting anybody's slack. You're going to meet the qualifications or you don't. So that's a huge step for us.
Yeah, great.
In terms of... Also, and Mike and I were talking a little bit about this, last year it was, do you have a pulse, are you breathing, you've got a job. Now, we can be selective, we can take the best of the best of the kids and have a really good core group to get us started. So I'm really excited on kind of both counts. We've got the bodies and we get to be choosy.
What's the, is 16 or is it 18?
16.
16.
16 for total.
So they still would have 2 years left at high school. So
and typically that's what you do. You get a cycle going. If you've got a good atmosphere and a good team, they work together well. Which you're dealing with teenagers, so any given year can be a yay or an A. But the idea is, yeah, by the time they get ready to go away to college, you've got a thing going where you've got 16, 17-year-olds coming in all the time. So hopefully you've had as many coming in the door as you have going out. And then you'll have those occasional that might go to LNC or DEC where you can keep them on as assistant managers or managers to help manage the pool. Because, again, lifeguards are typically 16 to 21-year-olds. There's no such thing except for Baywatch reruns of 35-year-old lifeguards. They just simply go there. So, really good news for us. Really good news. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We'll shoot for 5 days a week, but if we've got it, we'll open.
There's been talks to more to open.
No. Pool's already heated. We'll still have some lessons going on, but we'll have the bodies to expand the number of lessons we teach per half hour and hopefully expand the number of days per week that we're open.
Great. Well, so, swim lessons. That would be a cash positive situation.
Swim lessons are always money makers.
Yeah, okay.
So we're hoping to go from 1 class per half hour to 2 classes per half hour and do both late morning because we've got the river otters in here until 11 or so. And then some evening classes, and we're looking at doing evening classes through the month of August since the weather's still warm. Even if the kids are going to high school, if we're starting lessons at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, they can still work for us, hopefully, for another month, and then we'll start wrapping up about mid-September.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good. Okay.
Discussion regarding the landscape zone transfer plan from Contra Costa County to the town of Discovery Bay. Who brought that up?
I did. Is there any plan on right now?
What?
We're talking around every year.
Prior to you being here, yeah. We were working on it to try and take those
now,
over.
Now, when you're transferring the parks, are you going to transfer the other landscaping that we take care of too?
We were a little bit part of this in the past, I've always thought that it might be a benefit to the community to get rid of all the zones and try to have these assets under the town of Discovery Bay, not Costa County or anybody else. And so that's just kind of been the premise of this. We thought that maybe by having those zones removed that are making one larger zone or overlay with all those assets, we thought that maybe that might allow more redistribution where the needs are, because everybody in the community uses all the assets, so everybody's benefiting, but maybe that would help work different areas of the area. We'd have more flexibility to spend money more in the areas that need more care.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's probably a very difficult legal process to go through to get the zones together. Right now, even zones 9 can't make some money, and those are supposed to develop Discovery Bay zones. I would spend $240,000 out of zoning's budget for this building, and that $240,000 could go to projects in this area, which would be really nice.
We had worked with a supervisor in the past on this with the past general manager, and so and we've had high level discussions with the development department or the county, and I thought we were really far along on this, that we were to the point now we were counting street poles and small amenities that needed to be transferred. Like when Rick Howard was here, we were pretty far along on this. And
yeah, in fact, when I came in, the county gave me a bunch of money to spend down the reserves because they're not going to give us reserves on the parks. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're getting shade structures. We did some work at Vergara Park. We did quite a bit of work, but they're trying to spend that down now. They're trying to build it back up again. Mm-hmm. So I think the process either came to a halt or a decision was made not to do it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it was...
Because now they're squeezing me to build their budgets, but their reserves back up again.
There was a lot of research.
I don't recall that it was a decision from the board to not pursue it. I think we got all the way to the point where, like out there on Bixler, where the median is... across the street from the gas station.
That median is actually zone 35.
Correct, and we're maintaining it. Right?
Correct, we get paid for that.
Right, mm-hmm. But there was something about, well, if you take that over, then it'd be risk or something. Somebody was putting brakes on it. It wasn't us, thought it was the county. And I think an informal board discussion was, hey, you guys are out there doing it anyway. You put enough cones up, I mean, let's just take it.
We take care of Dexter from Park and Ride all the way to the school, too.
Yeah.
On the east side of Dexter.
Concept there, again, I think it's critical, right? We get all the monies. It doesn't have to go through the county. Mm-hmm. And that didn't pay us. I think if we did the math right, we could end up building reserves or whatever, because our costs wouldn't have to put the burden on the cost that we charge the county.
Yeah, I know the GM level. I know Regatta, those residents pay $125 a year, which is nothing.
Yeah,
you can't do your own yard for $12 a month. That's what they put in over there, and the county said they didn't want to raise that assessment over there. Zone 61 is probably a good zone. They have a lot of money there. The other ones that had 700,000 in reserve, and I spent it down to about 250 to 3.
Yeah, I just want to get the funds back to the town.
The lakes and lake shores is a good area.
I think we should pursue that. It's just like the firewood. You get the new guy, you heard. Where are we, county?
Yeah.
I think it was going. It got hung up in the legal department.
It did. We were close to the room.
Yeah, I think that we were actually talking about how to do it. So
I can inquire into this, and I have a little bit I heard about it. But just in a general concept,
right.
You know, we're swamped right now.
Yeah,
we're kind of off. We're on fire with stuff.
Yeah, this is another brick to put on
top. But there's a way to deal with it. And one of the ways might be dealing with a little bit of an insight. Or maybe this is something that Catherine could be brought in and just work on that specific thing.
Well, maybe, you know what? I hope she was talking about it. Maybe just a phone call to her to ask her to get you up to speed on where it was and why it went away. Maybe there is a financial reason that.
Do you want me to call Susan of the county? She was actually part of that process.
Well, I think first, probably, if you get a hold of Catherine, just come up.
Yes,
like,
I think we should try to get everybody up to where the project was stuck at. Maybe what a couple of options might be, we can handle this internally, or this
right.
Bad option, we might need to bring in a consultant for a short term to get the completion or get an agreement.
And we get to the point, say, you know, it just looks good on paper, but financially, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And maybe that decision came to be, and we didn't, the board just didn't get told that. I don't know.
So I think something else we need to find out is Cornell Park. Catherine told me that was never finalized.
Well, I have Sue trying to work with people to get an idea of, we do not have a deed for Cornell Park.
Well, thank you very much. I want to know.
We've certainly been operating under the impression that it was ours and transferred over at a particular time, but Sue's been working on that project, and I'll try to follow up with her.
Right. That would be transferred when Hoffman was developing. There's a couple other things he never got transferred.
Yes.
But this could be along the lines of that zone transfer. We can get that piece figured out. We definitely want all of our assets and title property.
And then there's the issue of Slifer Park as well. I mean, are we going to take that on or not take that on? And where are we at on that? I asked Rod, because I saw an old email regarding legal work on it. So where are we at? I'm Perry. I'm 3 weeks out on everything. So it's just a busy season going on right now. Everything gets put on the back burner.
Well, I think if you give a call to Catherine just to come up to speed, that would at least get us to a discussion point and know whether to go or no go at some point.
Maybe I'm doing lunch. Right.
Sure.
She's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Should we have any more discussion on that? I think we're kind of.
No, we need to follow this. Right.
Okay. And then next one.
Capital projects. Zone 57 has zero money for capital projects and barely pays for the maintenance that they're getting. Zone 61 is Slacker Park. The shade structure, they should be breaking ground soon. All of the steel was fabricated and painted, so it could be in shipment right now, so they should be breaking ground on that. That's not a capital improvement over there. It's going to be the shade structures and the new furnishings and barbecues over there. Zone 28, we have the top lot, the new play structure going in. That's being funded by PTD funds. And that he said it takes 4 to 6 weeks to order. So he's probably, I'm hoping to complete by Memorial Day, definitely by 4th of July.
Okay.
What else do we have? I got all the Caltrans and they came out and looked. They're going to do the weed abatement on Highway 4.
Oh, okay, great.
Along the fence line there?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
From where to where?
from Channel Road to Regatta.
Oh, okay.
Always. And I asked him to do the meetings too.
Yeah. All right. Super.
Yeah. Thank you.
And there was somebody mentioned the weeds coming out of the Ovid. I think that's a Caltrans thing too, so we want to get them up to do those weeds. The Veolia comes out of wastewater treatment plant too. Mm-hmm. I think it is. They can't see right on the highway. So
this is catchy
Highway 4.
Payroll entrances, yeah, I'm probably good.
Okay. Got it, Brian?
Let's see. Well, just the fact that, you know, this facility takes such a large chunk out of zone A that could be used for projects. That's something needs to be addressed at some point.
Yeah, Lord's well aware of the black hole in the city, and so we haven't got an answer yet. We push that on the finance committee. There's two fine directors come up with an answer on that.
Yeah. Lock them in a room and they don't come out.
You're getting into the budget project process, so next we'll be cutting our new budget here in May or something, so you've got some progress, I'm sure, for capital for next year, right?
Very little, because there's no capital money. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the biggest problem. So, we have no capital money.
No grants?
I don't know what we do with our reserves.
East Bay's parks.
How much are in reserves? I know we have for this facility $425,000.
The capital improvements.
Yeah, but not that we have to spend, maybe we can, for
emergency stuff. Yeah, I mean, we can do. There's things that are going to need to be done for a variety of reasons. But the issue right now is that money needs to be spent strategically, and there's the Hoffman issue, so those are all puzzle pieces that have to be on the playing board before we can really figure out what we're doing with that.
So in other words, we have no money.
No, we have money for, it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, we're not going to allow a hazard to maintain or something that's unlawfully, continued. So,
yeah. If we can settle this Hoffman issue, we may have some additional funds to do those things, and that's what we wanted. We need to get that out of our...
Yeah, we're working.
Yeah.
So it's
in legal's hands, and it's been in there for 10 years.
He's a tough guy.
Hoffman was difficult to deal with.
Yeah. It's a long-running show.
But the light is on in the tunnel. I don't know how fast it's coming, but it's on.
It's on.
Been dark a long time, so yeah. That's progress.
There was some funds that when we got this property, I think we have a sign out front. I don't recall exactly what that was, but it would be nice to have that water feature in the back. Why couldn't we get some funds through the parks, park system for out here and be able to get some upgrades in the lighting or something, just for talking about how we'll tie into the local. The East Bay Parks or
WWE.
I don't know what that looks like.
We drained that. I don't know why we didn't apply for more at the time, because there's some cities that got a lot of money. We got very little out of it in comparison to other cities.
All the funds are gone now, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bring to some committee board. I haven't figured out how best to do this, but I've been looking into grant companies. And so there's two that look very promising. They bill in different ways, but this is something that I'm trying to bring forward. I just don't know whether to go through committees first, go through the whole board, scheduling the committees. You know, if I go through the finance committee, they don't meet again until June. I'd like to get stuff up and running and looked at, so.
I would bring it up as an agenda item on the board.
Yeah, just for information only, for discussion.
The
discussion is going to be all around the money. How much does it cost, and how much can they get? And that kind of stuff would be.
Well, I can answer number one.
Well, if you spend a dollar, if you spend a dollar, and we can get $10 back,
right, then we all are alive. We got
no problem.
Just to get some direction.
Okay. Good. That sounds like a good idea. All right. So the last item is discussion regarding the maintenance and improvement projects for Highway 4 frontage, Discovery Bay Boulevard entrance and Clipper Drive. Okay. Regarding Discovery Bay entrance, I've tasked Brian with trying to get an estimate on getting the electrical done properly and getting the lights done properly. And then we've got to figure out a strategy for cleaning, for painting it up there, put plastic plants or something in the pot.
Yeah, they've actually have two bids. Monica's got two bids on that project that was run through a couple times and didn't go anywhere. So we've got kind of ballpark figures for what it costs.
Oh, what do you got?
Then again, you have to find the money.
Do we need a landscape architect?
If you want to do Highway 40, do, because you have to submit plans to Caltrans.
I don't think we want to do Highway 40. No, we just need to keep the bushes down and the weeds down and the debris picked up.
Yeah,
have to submit. The stucco and everything that's on the front of our entrance.
Yeah.
You say Monica did get a couple of bids for that.
Yeah, I think it's been thrown out a couple of years in a row and didn't get anywhere.
Well,
it boils down to money again.
Right, I can't remember how much it was.
I can.
Did we get her? She wouldn't know off the top of her head if she had one.
No, she doesn't. But I can bring it in.
We were going to get something from the Christmas tree guy or the Christmas decoration guy. What happened to him?
You were still waiting on him, so we might go through something else.
Not the Easter guy. So there's that. Then
the reason that's an important item, and there may be ways somehow, right, talking to the finance committee or whatever, to get the funds to make that happen, because I think all of the board, maybe the rest of us, feel that is a very important piece to the community.
I don't know why we would not be able to pay for water and wastewater.
The reason those
that is the interest of our community.
I don't know.
But that's kind of like
the reason those walls are damaged is because of the product that we call water here. Yeah. It's heating those walls up, and mainly from the pots.
Well, maybe the pots need to come down.
Yeah.
Or you put plastic plants in.
I don't even know why we need them up there anyway.
Yeah. It's
a maintenance
place.
Just put some sort of other concrete thing up there.
They could just cap them similar to what happened with you.
Put a finial on top. Some sort of concrete finial thing. Yeah. Done. Get rid of the pots, get rid of the plants up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just got regular stuff.
Yeah. So I can get the prices from Monica. You know, that's something you could steal from the PG&E funding to do that. We would just do
it. I
wouldn't want to say to do that we could take the money from it yet without board concurrence, but I think that would. Once we know what the number is and what is left in PG&E money, I think the board would probably be able to reprioritize some stuff because that's such a main
piece. I was hoping to do a solar light project for the parking lot out here. For the front parking lot, that would be our cheapest way out.
Just on that entrance, I was also thinking about Clipper. I was thinking about those fences. You were telling me that I missed the fences, the paint's coming off, or the... On different areas, not
everywhere,
right? It's like everywhere.
How many areas to come on a project? Key capital project down the road. I don't know
how they on that. All
right,
but anyway, this observation for future agenda. I don't know the status.
I've been looking into that for the last couple of weeks, and here's the story on that. The fence line, each individual portion that falls between the people's house are owned by the homeowner. And there's some strategy involved in this. So one of the things I did was contact John, wrote an email to John Kopchak, told him our dilemma, showed him pictures of what I'm talking about. And he says, well, I'll get back to you. And he kind of got back and he says, well, who owns it? I go, that's what you're supposed to look at. But they own, the individual homeowners, that's our understanding. Virgil's looked into this before. I want to know, can you go in the paperwork and see when they bought their house, is there any indication regarding fence upkeep on the back that they're responsible for, and how would that work? And I said, and if that doesn't work, is there any potential code enforcement issue that we can utilize to get them to, to have them, compel them to work on the fence? Now, the other way that this can be done, if that none of that pans out, is to approach the homeowners and ask them if we can revitalize their fence. Now, part of the problem is, as Virgil has said, cleaning the fence could involve really knocking down a lot of the material that's on the fence, and now we're responsible for real stucco, restuccoing much of that, that fence. So it's really a dilemma on dealing with this issue. Yeah. So right now I'm waiting for John Kopchak to get back to me.
Long-term issue?
It's a long-term issue that maybe, the other thing is maybe if we can't get it through by what's existing, maybe we look at the county adopting an ordinance that would help us deal with the issue.
We have the same issue going to come up, and that's with the Newport. You're going down Newport from Safeway, going north, or whatever it is, on the left-hand side, all of those walls are the same thing.
They're deteriorating.
Right, we need to find out whether that is set up the same way. Are the homeowner responsible for the backs of all those? And whether there's PCNRs over there that cover that.
That might be homeowners associations.
Right, but if we can verify on Newport, the folks that back up on Newport, if they have CCNRs that says they're responsible to maintain the backs of them or something,
right,
we can transfer that over to the other one. Say,
I know some of the homeowners, when they buy their homes, it's disclosed to them. Regatta, the people over there, they know those walls, they're responsible for maintenance.
Right.
Oh, you verified that already?
But,
yeah.
But what is compulsory? The issue is you want me to maintain my fence? And sure, I'm going to paint it black and orange. How do you like that?
That's another problem, too, is each homeowner can go down and buy the color paint, but the tones are different when you put them on the wall, so you can see that
I believe the solution is that it has to be painted or surfaced or all
by one company, one thing all at once.
Yeah. But the town doesn't have the funds to do that. It's not a responsibility. It's an aesthetic thing. Mm-hmm. The people that live in those houses can't see the back of them anyway. They don't care.
Right.
So we've got to figure out the hammer to make it happen. Either they have, maybe they have to be assessed. I don't know, through the county on their tax roll.
To be continued. Any other future agenda items?
No. They call the news over here. We got a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed, so we have to have money.
I want to thank staff for this great meeting.